This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for the introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room. We are looking today at a problem, at a big problem, which I think is in the church. We are living in the postmodern age, and we have got one big issue, and that is that kind of anything goes. You listen around within, even within evangelicalism, and one says this, another one says that, and there are so many different opinions that it can be very, very confusing. And what do people do? What do people do? And it's a big, big problem. And this is what we are talking about today. People tend to cling to a personality. Okay. And this is a big problem. And we are looking at the Christian War Room here. We're looking at the whole concept of the person cult, where people elevate one person and they base all their understanding of the Bible and their relationship with God upon whatever this one person says. So a person becomes pretty much the voice piece of God, and everybody else, you know, is pretty much silenced in people's minds, and that's what they go to. Okay, what are we looking at today? We're looking at this person cult, and the thing I want to get across today is to really look at yourself, see where you stand, see where your where your allegiances are, and just having a little bit of an inner search and see what's going on inside of you. It's very, very important. Yeah, the core message of today is very, very simple. It's very clear, and it is always go back to the Word of God. Always rely on the Word of God. The only person you can trust 100% is Jesus Christ. Nobody else, yeah. You cannot trust anybody else. Yeah. You cannot trust your husband. You cannot trust your wife. You cannot trust your preacher in your church, even though he might be the nicest guy that is around, and he might have, you know, got 50 degrees in theology or whatever. But we all are subject to making mistakes. And as far as our salvation is concerned, as far as our redemption is concerned, as far as our walk with God is concerned, I mean, it's natural. The only one we can really trust is God. And the only thing we can trust is the revelation God has given us. And I'm not talking about personal revelation, because it's a Jeremiah chapter 7, I think, the heart is more treacherous than above all things. Let me just check this out. We are here in the Christian Ballroom, important scriptures. So don't trust me when I quote scriptures. Check them out yourself, you know. You can do this very simply. Just go to Google, or you can go somewhere, and it'll come up pretty fast, yeah. But I make mistakes as well. Anyway, Jeremiah talks about that the heart is more treacherous than beyond all things. Let me just type this in, and then I can get you the exact scripture as well. It's Jeremiah 17, not 7:17. So very, very important. And let's have a look at the scripture. I'm just looking at the scripture. Let's have a look. Deceitful. Jeremiah 17. So we've got deceitful heart, treacherous heart, and it's deceitful above all things. That's what it says. We don't have this here. Let's go back. Jeremiah 17:9. Let's go to the scripture directly and read it. But you can't even trust your own heart. This is a problem. Yeah? And you probably find it as well, you know, when you fall in love and you see this wonderful person and everything is really super and wonderful. And you sort of in your heart, you glorify this person, yeah? And your heart tells you that this is the best thing ever. Then you get married, or you get in a relationship, you spend some time with the person, and you find out that it's not quite the way it is. So your heart told you one thing, the reality and the truth is slightly different. And that is sometimes a big problem, that we are often going into a state of self-deception. So we cannot rely on our heart. We cannot rely that that we are making the right choices based on our heart, or that God's revelation is somehow rooted in our hearts, in our heart's desires. So big problem we are dealing with, and again here on in the war room we are just looking for the issues we are facing with deception, and this is not necessarily willful. It's not necessarily done evil. It says here again. I just called up the scripture. Have I got the right translation? I'm doing this online. It's a New King James translation, and it says in here, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then it says here, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Very powerful scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? "I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So this is very, very important. It's a very important thing to sort of always bear this in mind. You cannot trust your heart either, and you cannot necessarily trust the revelation you believe you have received from God. Now, if the revelation is genuinely from God, then obviously it's going to be right, it's going to be good. Yeah, you can rely on it. But if it is not, and it says here, you know, that we should test everything. You know, Paul talks about prophecy. We should test everything. And then come up with an answer to this. Okay, what are we going to do? Yeah, what are we going to do? And the talk again today I want to sort of focus on is, don't rely on people. Don't rely on me. Yeah, I'm a man of mistakes, and I make many mistakes as well. But anything I say, anything which is, you know, of spiritual value, I'm not doing it deliberately, but I am fallible. You know, my mind isn't perfect. I read stuff. I remember some of it, not all of it. Sometimes the connections I make between one scripture and another may not be necessarily right. You need to test it, and you need to, whatever I say, you know, you need to weigh it before God, especially if it affects big decisions in your life. The only thing you can rely upon is the word of God. Yeah. And everything has to be measured against the word of God. And there I'm talking about the Bible. And even then, you know, I need to go one step further, and I need to say, the Word of God, in my opinion, is a cryptic book. Yeah, and I could never understand it because to give you a little bit of a history, I was raised as a Catholic, and the Bible wasn't sort of the main thing, but it was more, everything was about tradition, liturgy, and, you know, doing the right thing, going to church every week, reading the Gospels, but nothing really about doctrine. So as soon as you deviated from the Gospels and you went into, you know, the epistles of the Apostle Paul, or you went into the Old Testament, it was pretty much sort of hush-hush, and you didn't talk about it an awful lot. And things weren't quite that clear. So, that was sort of one of the things. But then, when I became a Christian, I was 16 years old, was fairly young, fortunately, so God called me at a young age. Just turning 16, when I became a Christian, and suddenly the focus jumped to the Bible, and sort of initially, you know, came to Christ within a charismatic Pentecostal context, but initially, you know, it was all about, oh, revelation, God talks to you, prophecy, and all that stuff, but God was leading me, and this is just a personal thing, into the Word of God, you know, and I started having people popping up in my life who came from an Orthodox evangelical background. You know, like sola scriptura, Bible, nothing else, and so on. And I got a little bit of both sides, and I could see the value of what these people were telling me. And also, it took me quite some time to sort of get a reasonable understanding of the Bible, and also to get rid of all the wrong concepts which were sort of imprinted in my mind about who God is and what God wants of us, and the whole aspect of righteousness, the righteousness of God, the love of God, and everything else. Yeah. So it took quite some time. It took me quite a few years to sort of sort this out and get this straightened and sort of have a reasonable understanding of this. But the key was to really go into the Bible and to not to not divert from it in any way. And that's what I want to encourage you as well. You need to go into the Bible, and you need to make the Bible your foundation, but also to give you a little bit of warning. And that's the point I tried to make. When I was sort of 18, 19 years old, I went to seminary, a Lutheran seminary, and there were sort of a lot of, I would say today, apostate theologians who have never come to the knowledge of Christ. I'm convinced they've never broken through. If they have, whatever knowledge, real knowledge they had of God or of the Bible has been sort of thrown in, you know, dug in, buried, and it's been buried with the dung of liberal theology. You know, whatever truth they had, maybe at one stage, is just being covered with pointless and useless stuff. And it's really painful when you see this. So there was this whole group of people, all of them wanted to study theology, and they got them all together for a weekend. It was all done by the Lutheran Church. And I just got sort of sucked into it through religious education at school, Germany. Again, religious education is part and parcel of it, different to America, or maybe even different to Britain to a certain extent. And, you know, I was sort of looped into it, got into it, because sort of loosely I considered myself to be a Protestant. And I was shocked what I saw. I was absolutely shocked. And also, you know, the theologians just didn't have any idea about Jesus, who he was, you know, what the Bible stood for. All I got told is that the Bible is a very contradictory book. You cannot use it. It's just a myth full of mythology. Effectively, that's what people taught me. Not in those terms, but they were telling me this. And the point I'm trying to make you here is that these people were reading the same book I was reading. I saw the glory of God in this book, and I'm still seeing it. I see that God is speaking to me in very clear manner in this book. I see the holiness of God, and I see the love of God, and I see the righteousness of God. I can see the great wonders of God, you know, which he has performed in this world and is still doing on a daily basis. I can see treasures in there. So sometimes I take the Bible, I read in it, and I can dig out a treasure. These people couldn't. You know? All they saw is just some historically critical analysis of the Bible, and then they come up with, they spend ages on studying grammatical structures and then deciding that this and that has not been written by the same person. Whether there's any value to it or not, I doubt it. And again, you've got a paradigm these people speak from, which is that everything is a myth. God isn't real. The Bible is just some old book. Yeah, and we need to sort of use this to, you know, as some means to try and teach morality to people. I'm not quite sure what their purpose is, but I've never seen anything like it. I walked away from this weekend, and I was deeply shocked. I was just deeply shocked. I thought, if this is the Lutheran Church, I don't want anything to do with them. I mean, these people are just heading to hell, and they are pretty much, whoever they are preaching to, they are putting them on the same path to hell, because they refuse to understand, they refuse to accept the Word of God, and they've walked away from it. Very, very strange, very weird. Okay, this was just a subjective experience. I'm not condemning all of the Lutheran Church. I've been told there are some really good churches, and there's some really good parishes and really good pastors within this. I know in East Germany, and it's quite interesting as well, when East Germany under communism, if you became a Lutheran pastor, it you had to pay for it. Yeah, you were pretty much on the edge of society. East Germany was a communist country. They allowed Lutheran churches, they allowed Lutheran pastors, but they were sort of in deep trouble. Yeah? So it came at a big cost to go down this path, and it wasn't easy. You were watched all the time. If you said the wrong word, you were 2 inches away from either being thrown out of the country or going to prison. So it was interesting as well. So when Germany united, you suddenly got all these Lutheran pastors from the other side of the border. But you found that these guys, you know, they were persecuted, and because of persecution, they really believed what they were preaching. And you saw a lot of people on the other side of the border who were genuine Christians, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the Word of God, and who were following God with all of their hearts, yeah, because at a cost as well. And then suddenly, obviously, they had all the freedom, and they moved into the normal Lutheran church. But it was quite interesting to see the divide between East and West. You know, West, which has been dominated for 50, maybe 100 years with liberal theology, and then the East, where you were de facto persecuted, not heavily, unlikely to die, but if they saw you as an enemy of the state, you would end up in one of the political prisons, and they were pretty grievous. Yeah, solitary confinement for 20, 30 years. It was heavy. It was heavy stuff. Really, really heavy stuff. Okay, the talk today is, and what we are looking at is looking at people. And again, just to let me sum this up, this last point. Two people. There's people, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who look in the Bible, they read the Bible, they get the treasures out of it, they can unlock the treasures which are hidden in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And then you've got the same people, theologians, who have had a liberal education, probably are not born again, never were regenerated, never experienced God in their lives. And to them, it's just sort of a dead theology, a dead theory. They look at the Bible and they just can't see it. Yeah, they're totally blind. It's like scales in front of their eyes. They can't see it, and they just rip it apart and, tell you this isn't relevant and that isn't relevant. And it all sort of is reduced to an intellectual exercise to try and analyze what is written in the Word of God. So this is two groups of people. Okay, and now the point I'm trying to make here is, when you go into the Bible, it is very important that you are born again. That's number one. That you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are regenerated. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, that He will lead us into all truth, that He will tell us all the hidden stuff about Jesus. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, you look in the Bible, you can, there's almost the whole New Testament is sort of hidden somewhere away in the Old Testament, and you can read through passages. And you can actually find out what was going on at the crucifixion. What was going on inside Jesus? What was he thinking? You get almost like a bird's perspective of the whole event, which you don't get in the Gospels. The Gospels is just the human perspective of what was going on. But you look in some passages on the Old Testament, and you can see exactly what was going on. You can see exactly what was going on in Christ. And when you look at some of the prophecies, you've got like four or five different levels of prophecy, like in the book of Jeremiah or in Isaiah or some of the minor prophets. And again, when you look through them, you can see a lot more. Yeah? And they are sort of pearls and treasures hidden throughout the Old Testament and obviously throughout the New Testament as well. And you can just dig them out, and it can be a great encouragement to you. Again, the point is, it's important that you go back to the Bible. Okay. Let's go to the next point. The next point is that I once had an argument, again, the liberal Christian. I used to have a radio station at the time, and so I was sort of trying to get people, Christian ministries, on the radio station to preach the gospel. And the whole idea was, they paid for the airtime, and that's how the station was kept alive. So I got this guy on there, and it's obviously you can't. I mean, I'm not into censorship, but on the other side, I don't want somebody, or I wasn't keen to have somebody on who was a blatant heretic, yeah. So, or, very problematic person, not interested. I wanted, obviously, people who know the Bible, preach the Word of God, and I'm not, I understand, that there are different viewpoints, and I don't think I'm too narrow, in my outlook on theology, and on the way people preach. There are certain things, obviously, which are way out, when you do this. And anyway, there was this guy on, and he put some programs on, and some of the programs were really sort of weird. And he was, as I would say, a liberal. Somehow he ended up in the church. I'm not sure whether he was a Christian. I'm not sure whether he ever broke through. No idea. In eternity, one day I'd see it. I hope that he breaks through. I hope that he understands, and that. And I'm not sure whether he's still alive. It was quite a few years ago, and he was quite old at the time. But he was sort of pushing ecumenicalism. Yeah. So it was all okay. You've got like the Jews and the Christians, and to be fair, the Jews have got the same scriptures as what we have. You've got the Muslims, and there you've got a problem because their book pretty much antagonizes our book and the essential doctrines. So a Muslim cannot be saved if he adheres to the Quran. There's no way, no way. If he rejects the Bible, adheres to the Quran, there's no way. And we need to warn these guys and say, look, you're going to go to hell if you trust in this book, because this book says stuff. For example, that Jesus didn't die on the cross. That's one core messages. that God just deceived us and he pretended that Jesus was dying on the cross, but he put on there somebody else instead. And that's what the Quran says. Yeah? And that's even at that point, you can just, reject it. At that point, you have to reject it as a Christian. You have to say, this is heresy. You know, a lot of other, fancy verses, some of them, are quite nice and they almost align themselves with whatever the doctrine is in the Bible. But there's this key verse, which takes away the sacrifice God has provided through letting himself be nailed to the cross. And that has been taken away. That has been taken away in the Quran. And at that point, we have to reject that book. Same with Buddhism. When you look at Buddhism, and there are some doctrines in there which are almost like the epistles, about desires and lust and that they are the cause of all evil and things like that. And you can almost draw a parallel to some scriptures in the Bible. But again, then you look at what the description of God is, and at that point, you have to reject it straight away. Now, this good man, he tried to, in a probably benevolent spirit, unity, be nice to one another, be tolerant, and all this. What we find today as well. So he tried to put it all together, and he created programs which he wanted to place on the station. And I started sort of getting a little bit weary about this, and I thought, it's okay to explain what these religions are like, but you can't endorse them, really, because otherwise, if you endorse another religion other than the way, the truth, and the life, you're pretty much, doing something really, really wrong. You're confirming people, or you're sort of encouraging people to go on in the path they are walking, even though this path is going to take them straight into the gates of hell, and on the other side of the gates of hell. Anyway, I had this argument, and then he came up, and he came up with all these big names and what these big names were saying. So he mentioned pretty much people who nowadays I consider to be prime heretics within the evangelical world, like Rick Joyner, what's his name? The purpose-driven lie guy, yeah. Is it Rick Warren? Forgotten the name. Let's have a look. We've got the internet here. We can do this. Purpose-driven life. Anyway, and he mentioned all these names and all the stuff they were saying. Yeah. And then the big question is. I mean, I was just flabbergasted at the time, and I thought, why? Many people at the time, I didn't even know about them. I mean, they were just big American ministries. I'm not American, so no idea who they were. Later, years later, I found out a little bit more about them, and I sort of saw some of the the heresies which came out from Rick Warren. That's the one I'm looking for. Rick Warren, purpose-driven lie. And sort of I came up with all this stuff, and that was his authority, what he based his liberal programs on. And I was supposed to accept them as an authority. I mean, first of all, I didn't know them. Secondly, I just wouldn't do it anyway. To me, they're just people like anybody else, and they can make mistakes. Sometimes, people with the best intentions, they are following Christ, they love him with all their hearts, but they're getting things wrong. I'm getting things wrong as well. So everything has to be tested, everything has to be checked. Some people, and this is the biggest problem, they're big names within the evangelical world, but they're splurting out heresy. They're splurting out heresy. And to a degree which is almost ridiculous, and we find this in our day and age, and it's a real problem, and we need to understand this. We need to understand this, and we need to sort of step back from that. Okay, we've got a few minutes left, so let me just sum this up. There are a lot of voices out there. There are a lot of voices within the evangelical world. There are a lot of prophets and preachers who kind of have an exclusive claim. They look to themselves, and they are very authoritarian. They might be really nice people, And the temptation is there because we've got so many voices, so many confusing voices out there, that we are just choosing one person and we are listening to what they have to say. And we get rid of our critical guard, you know, of our guard. We let our guard down and suddenly we get taken in by bad doctrine and by bad ideas. This bad doctrine may, and this is a problem, some bad doctrines or some false doctrines, they don't affect you a great deal. They may change your thinking a little bit, but they don't necessarily affect your relationship with God. But there are doctrines which do affect your relationship with God and which will, you know, spoil it and try and take you away from the living God and move you onto a different track, move you off the straight and narrow road you're supposed to walk on, onto a different road. And if you do this, you will lose out a great deal. You will lose out the and again, purpose-driven life, coming back to this thing, but I'm meaning it in a different context, not the Warren context. God has got a plan for you. He wants to walk you. He wants you to walk in his ways. And this is a way of holiness, a path of holiness, the highway of holiness. Somebody described in Isaiah, we'd have to dig up the scripture, the highway of holiness, really interesting scripture. But he wants you to walk on that. And sometimes we, you know, through walk doctrine, walk off the path of holiness. We walk on a different path. And this path is ultimately taking us away from, you know, what God has designed for our lives, what God wants us to do. And it's important to come back to it. For right doctrine, that's the reason why doctrine is important, why it's important to be rooted in the Word of God and not to be rooted in some external revelation, you know, outside the Word of God or a revelation that is not confirmed by the Word of God, and why it's important to not trust into big people who have got big books and to base your life on that, because you'll just miss it. And one day you'll stand in front of the pearly gates, you'd stand in front of God, and because you moved away from what God wanted you to do into something else, you will have missed out on a great deal. And bear in mind, life is short. People say this, oh, you need to make the most, you know, get drunk every day and all the rest of it. That's sort of the worldly aspect. But from a Christian point of view, life is very, very short. We've only been given a small window here on earth, and we should maximize it to prepare for eternity. Yeah, eternity is going to be long, and whatever you do down here is going to affect what's going to be happening up there. And that is very important, how we need to make sure that we are standing firmly on the Word of God in everything, in our doctrine, in our thinking, in our understanding, in our lifestyle, in everything we do. We should base ourselves on the Word of God and on nothing else. We are running late. We've got about 1 minute left. I think I got the point across. Big, you know, perilous times we are living in. Many, many voices, so many voices we've never had before. Go back to the 1800s. You got a bunch of cults, and you could probably count them on both your hands. You know, big cults who were deviating from the Word of God. Today, I don't know. I don't know. How many cults have you got today? How many crazy people have you got today who are preaching stuff that is not in the Word of God? Loads. Absolutely loads. We've got loads and loads and loads of them. Who do you rely on? Do you rely on me? No, you can't rely on me. Do you rely on the preacher in your church? You can't. You need to get your nose into the Word of God. And if you can read, you've got a Bible, you've got time. If you don't have time, make time, then there's no excuse for you. One day you're going to stand before God and you have to justify it. And if it's not in the Word, you just can't rely on it. Okay, I'm going to leave at this point, and let's pray. Lord, I want to pray that you will open our minds, that you will open our hearts. Give us a desire to read and study your word and to get into it. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to reveal to us about Jesus and who Jesus is, who you are. I pray that you will, Lord, all our listeners, Lord, that you will pour the Holy Spirit out into our lives to convict us of sin and righteousness and of the truth that is in you. Lord, that we can see you, that we can understand you, and that we can walk on the straight and narrow way. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.